Tonight on the series of messages on try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Take your Bibles tonight and let's go to Acts 20 where we left off this morning, Acts chapter 20. And we're going to just continue moving through all of these passages of Scripture. We had Matthew chapter 7 and then Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 24. That we've went over so far. We went over Acts chapter 13 this morning, and now we're in Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be looking at all these different passages of Scripture where so many of them, I'd say there's approximately 20 of them, where the Bible speaks of false prophets, false teachers, and how to try a spirit to see whether it be of God. And so we're in Acts chapter 20, one of the great passages of Scripture concerning pastoral work and the inside of a church. And so we're going to begin reading at verse number 17. But before we do, let's pray tonight that God feed us. I want to say tonight, thank you for all of you being here. Sister Cradiville has a special, I'm just going to be an unspoken request right now, but pray for Sister Cradiville. She has a need in her life. And, I want to say I appreciate you being here. Drove up a little bit later than I normally do tonight. And I saw all the cars here and I want to tell you how I appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord and your hunger for the Word of God. And pray for me that I would feed the flock of God as I ought to. And I just want to say I love you folks tonight. And what a joy and privilege it is to go through this journey with this people. I just feel so blessed. And I just want you to know I love you. Verse number 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called. And notice this right now. It's going to tell you who he's speaking to when he says everything. And called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I tell you, that's what needs to be preached right there. And this is what he did. And Paul said, I didn't keep anything back. I didn't hold back if I thought it was going to, might hurt somebody's feelings, or I didn't hold back because it wasn't popular. I didn't hold back. He said, I kept nothing back from you. And he said, I did it personally and I did it publicly. Verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Watch verse number 24. But none of these things move me. Paul would not have fit into the self-esteem crowd very well, because look what he says. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Boy, I tell you what now. I don't know where you'd find that at nowadays. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Isn't that a sight? I mean, you all know what's going to happen. This man's headed to death. He's approaching the end of his ministry. He's approaching trouble and hard, bad times. And he says, I want to finish my course with joy. Boy, I do too. Amen. I think we can too. And the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Boy, I tell you what, you ought to underline that. The gospel. Paul preached the gospel of grace. He didn't preach the gospel of good works or good works plus grace. He preached the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Paul said, this is going to be our last time we're going to have church together. And then he said this, verse 27, wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That's quite a statement. How was he pure from the blood of all men? Here it is. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've said this many times. You know, the average stay of a preacher in America is 2.1 years. There's no way that a church can get fed the Word of God generationally with pastors staying 2.1 years. we need, and it was before 1750 in this country, the average pastor assumed that he would be at one church for his lifetime. That was common culture understanding. You go take this church, you're going to be there the rest of your life. You need the rest of your life to preach the whole counsel of God. It's going to take generation, which whatever you count it to be 20 years or 30 years, it's going to take at least that long to preach through the Bible or preach the major themes of Scripture. And these children are going to grow up, and then the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, and the whole counsel of God is going to be there. Now, he said, I didn't stop, all the counsel of God. Now, then he gives them a warning, verse number 28. Now, you watch this. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now, he calls that the special word, flock. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. All right? We're called his sheep. There's the reason that he's calling them the flock here. Over which, now he's talking to the elders. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'll submit to you tonight that the greatest need that the church has is to be fed the Word of God. I mean, I know that's not all of it, but I'll tell you what, that ain't happening. The rest of it ain't going to amount to too much. And because the Word of God is what will sustain you, feed you, strengthen you, take you through day by day, year by year, and hold you up. And that's what we need. He said, feed the church of God, which you have purchased with his own blood. By the way, Christ died for the church. Amen. Don't ever, ever underestimate the importance of the church to God the Father, because he gave his son to die for the church. He is coming after the church. Amen. He's not coming after the Club 700 Club. He's not coming after the TV show. He's coming after the church. You don't ever underestimate the church. Christ died for the church. And I mean, it's just critical. I mean, when you get saved, the Holy Ghost places you in the body of Christ, the church. That's what he's come for. And I'm telling you, the church is critical. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, and watch this, shall something's coming in. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus called them ravening wolves. Here, the Apostle Paul in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit says, grievous wolves, entering in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, you and I know that these aren't literal wolves in the sense of what animals out here, four-legged wolves. These are spiritual wolves who'll come into churches and come into religious circles, and they're going to rip things up and tear things up and sow division and sow discord and sow strife and try to destroy the unity and the cohesion of the body of Christ. And they're going to do it by sowing false doctrines and so forth. He said, grievous wolves entering among you, not sparing the flock. Watch this statement here. Also of your own selves. This is a scary, frightful statement. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now, you've got to believe your Bible tonight. And by the way, this happens all the time across the United States. It happens all the time in churches, or at least the attempt of it is. Verse 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Watch verse 33. Here's the evidence, and here's what you want to watch for. About, he's talked about grievous wolves. He talked about they don't spare the flock. They don't care what family it is. They don't care what person it is. They'll rip somebody up and tear somebody up spiritually if they can. Verse number 33. Listen to what Paul says. I have coveted no man's silver. That's an evidence of a false prophet. Somebody that's covetous of silver and after money and doing it for money, that is an evidence. He said, or gold or apparel. Watch verse 34. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said, I worked and I made my own living. I earned my own income. Now, I'm not against somebody being, quote, in the full-time ministry, but I will say something to you. I believe there's something good about getting out there and just making a living on your own. You know, I'm saying that. I just believe you got a little better understanding of who you're preaching to and what they're going through if you got bills to pay and if you're not on the church welfare program. Amen. Yeah. I believe churches ought to support their people in ministry. I really do. The fact of it is, most churches aren't supporting them enough, to be honest with you. But I mean, you know, it's I won't get into that. But He said these hands. Verse number 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe the Apostle Paul went out and worked and did that tent business. You know why? Because I believe he wanted to have something to give to people who had need. I don't believe he's out there trying just to get ahead all the time. I believe he wanted to be able to help other people and practice the practical Christianity that comes out from being saved. Verse 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. I believe them folks loved each other, don't you? Isn't that a sweet scene? They knelt down together there and prayed together and wept. And they said, man alive, you know what? They're not going to see Paul no more. Now, I got in the mail this week. It's kind of interesting how God does this. And this is a nice looking magazine. You see, that's called it's called The Watchman. And it's published in the name of and for the glory of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. That sounds pretty good to me. And it's got a verse from Ezekiel chapter 3:17. Says, I have made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning to me. And they've got an article in here for Oswald Chambers. And Oswald Chambers, great man of God. They've got an article in here by him and about him. And they've got, can I tell you something? I've read through this, and I would say about 95% of this booklet is just anybody in this church house would agree with. But can I tell you something? This book has 5% enough poison it to send anybody to hell that follows these people. These people over here from Shell City, Missouri, as Pastor Dan Guyman and Pastor Gary Clark and Evangelist Reed Benson there at Shell City, Missouri. And here's their mission to proclaim Jesus Christ and his kingdom to his servant people Israel, and to pray for the spiritual repentance, revival, renewal, and awakening of the covenant people of Jehovah God throughout the Anglo-Saxon and kindred nations of the world. Now, if you didn't do a little bit of studying, you would think that was all right. But I'm telling you that's laced with poison right there. And so I got to reading in it. I just about could tell when I read the back of what they are. They're replacement theology people. They hate the Jews, and they believe that the 10 lost tribes of Israel, which they're not lost. First of all, they're not lost. That is not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say there's 10 lost tribes. That is concocted out of hell lie. And these people are Jew haters, and they think they're the real Jews, and they think the Anglo-Saxon people are the 10 lost tribes of Judah, or of Israel, quote. And then they meet on Saturday, one of the first articles about the law and the 10 commandments, and boy, before you get done, they've got you all loaded down real good. Remember putting burdens on them they won't even bear themselves? Can I tell you that the Seventh-day Adventists do not keep the 10 Commandments? But they'll sure tell you you ought to. And they'll tell you if you don't go to church on Saturday, you're going to die and go to annihilation. They can't tell you they're going to go to hell because they don't believe in hell. But you're going to be annihilated, okay? That sounds like fun. And they've got stuff in here. I mean, they got a lot of good articles. But this one here really blowed me. You say, Reggie, how do you know a false doctor? Now, you may have got this in the mail. I don't know. I hope you didn't. But I get stuff in the mail all the time. And I get phone calls all the time. And I get this, that, and the other. But this one here blowed me away. Now, I'm going to read something to you. And I want you to tell me. I want you to try the spirit. Here we go. It says, Noah, man of two worlds, father of three sons. And it's going down through here, and it says, the seed stock, quote, that Jehovah used to repopulate the earth following the Genesis flood came from two different sources. First, with the representatives of the unique and separately created races aboard the ark, and this in compliance with the specific instruction of Jehovah to Noah. And, quote, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring in the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, and they went into the ark unto Noah into the ark, and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Genesis 6:19, quoted right out of the King James Bible. By the way, these folks use the King James Bible. By the way, these folks are pushing homeschooling. These folks are pushing Christian education. But now watch this. Secondly, now first of all, the seed stock was from his three sons. Secondly, the seed stock first came to, he said they from, First were representatives of the unique and separately created races aboard the ark. Secondly, from the three sons of Noah descended all the Caucasian peoples after the flood. Now, they give what they believe vaguely to you right there, but here's, as you move on through the article, they finally come out and say it. As mentioned earlier, there were other non-Caucasian races aboard the Ark. These separate races or kinds, with the Negroid, the Mongoloid, were preserved aboard the Ark as Jehovah originally created them. Each of these races clustered in the particular area of the earth, a lot of them, with the Far East being devoted to the Orientals in Africa, the Negroids, the sex, the distribution of various racial streams of people were allotted their portion of the earth owing to the... You know what they're saying? How many figured out what they're saying? That it wasn't just Noah and his three sons on the Ark and their wives. That there were other races of people on the Ark. Now, how do you know that's a false spirit? Because it ain't what the Bible says at all. It's a lie. Now, these people are the other liars. They're just full of hell. They hate anybody that's not white. They don't. You read this. I got to read this, Stephen. They don't believe they can be saved if you're not white. Huh? And that's what you ought to do with all this trash. It comes in your home. And that your friend gives you to read. Somebody got the idiocy to say that. Just to blatantly lie to you and take a verse. They gave a verse to substantiate their doctrine that there were more than Noah and his three sons and daughters on the ark. But it didn't say a thing about it. They just used a verse. That's right over here at Shell City, Missouri. By the way, you can't go to their church unless you're personally invited to their church. But they've got all kinds of good stuff in that. 90% of it most people in here would agree with. Why do they have that? Because they know if they don't put all that in there, you won't read them. So they give you all the 90% first, and then they start dropping the little drops of poison in on you. And they take advantage of people's attitudes and so forth and all that that they think that they don't like. So I'm telling you, now listen, do you know what they tell in here? I read in the back of this thing, they get talking about their evangelism. They say that almost 100% of their converts are a one-on-one personal friend relationship at a job situation. That means you're talking to a buddy on a job and you get to listen to him and he says some stuff that sounds pretty good. And if you're not careful, he'll play on something you've got a problem with already. Let me tell you something. Now, if I understand the Bible, whosoever will, let him come. If I understand the Bible, Jesus tasted death for every man. You go telling people that only white people can be saved, I'll tell you that's out of hell. That's horrible. And that's right here in this area. Let's look at this Acts chapter 20 verse. Let's look at a few things. Number one, elders and pastors are to guard the flock. They're to guard the flock. Paul talked about, he said, listen, he said, you're to oversee. Let me tell you something. The preacher says something that don't sound good to you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I do not know that I've ever got up behind this pulpit and said anything to anybody for their destruction. And he says here they're to guard the flock. They're to oversee. Just like a father was surely to goodness. Your kids didn't like everything you've ever said to them. But you've not done it for their destruction. Surely to goodness you love your kids. We're to guard the flock. And he's talking to elders here. He's talking about pastors. He's talking about fathers. He's talking about those that are older. He said, we ought to be guarding these kids. We ought to be guarding our generations from these grievous wolves that would come in and rob the flock. And when somebody starts talking to you about, I got a buddy and we've been talking and he says this and he showed me a verse over here, and you start picking up that something ain't right, you ought to correct that and you ought to take that to Word of God and you ought to warn that person. That's what the Apostle Paul did. The church is secondly to feed the Bible in its entirety, not just portions of Scripture. You can always tell where there's a problem if they won't preach on rather than what they do preach on. Not one time in that entire book that I hand you, and this is one of their big mail-out publications that they send out to people, not one time did I hear them talk about the substitutionary, sacrificial, redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary shedding His blood. That was the way to be saved. I read a lot about the law, and I read a lot about the commandments, and I read a lot about the junk and a lot about sodomites and this, that, and the other stuff that's wrong in this nation, and there's a lot wrong. But let me tell you something. You watch for their gospel of grace. Paul said, I preached unto you the gospel of grace. And if they don't preach the gospel of grace, they are wrong. Amen. If they teach anything with grace, they're wrong. This is the way to avoid false teachers. Let me tell you something. You teach your children, you guard your children, you guard your families. That's the way true leaders of the church are, have not made themselves. He said the Holy Ghost made them overseer. Now you listen to me. This is my problem. I don't know that I have all the answers about how you run a church. I don't know how to run a church. All I know is this, that church elections, I have a hard time finding them in the Bible. All I can tell you is that a church has to be walking with God and the Holy Ghost of God has to be in that church so that church has the leadership and the spiritual guidance that it ought to have. Let me tell you something, I'm not very smart, but I know the Holy Ghost made me the overseer here. And you've got the privilege of walking in and walking out. If you don't want to be under my oversight, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm saying this to you, that if you're going to be here, I'm the overseer. I'm the overseer. And I'm for you, not against you. And he said, these people come in. He said, they're grievous wolves. They won't spare the flock. They're not, they don't care who they attack. He said, even of your own selves, perverse people will jump up. He said, you need to watch, remember, and warn. And this is the basis for strength. And Paul said, I'm not a hireling. He said, I went out and worked with my own hands. And, again, this morning I want to say to you, listen, how them sheep come, them wolves come in sheep's clothing, they come in with, it's dressed in Christianity. Can anybody tell me anything that's dressed with Christianity and dressed with Bibles, this, that, and the other, but it ain't of God? How are they dressing up? How's these wolves dressing up these days? Anybody? Contemporary music. Contemporary music, exactly. They dress it. Well, it's got Christian words in it. It is a wolf in sheep's clothing. A long time ago, Bill Gothard came out with a complete publication with a picture of a wolf with a sheep's deal drawn over it. And he said, the wolf is after the church and every wolf against us. And people throwed that thing and they didn't like that thing. But he said, I'm warning this generation that this music is going to get. He said, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing coming into your churches. Yep. Yep. God's word is another one. Wolves in sheep's clothing. I told a man recently, I said, I want to tell you, God don't talk out of both sides of his mouth. You've got to get yourself down solid on this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This will be our next one tonight. But he is warning people about this. Listen, I'm going to go off the scene, and I'm going to tell you something, one of these days, and you parents are going to go off the scene. I wonder what our children are going to teach their children. I'm just going to stay up flat footed tonight. I've got situations in my life that it grieves me because I wonder, well, you know what? I've preached this all my life and you just blatant disobedience to it. And you wonder, well, what in the world? What are they going to do? If they think these things are not right, then what are they going to teach their children? And then what's that third generation going to believe? Nothing. You can just pick and choose as you want to and do what you want to. But, you know, and the funny thing about it is I have freedom in Jesus Christ. I don't feel like I'm in the bondage a bit. I don't. That's just the truth. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at verse number 12. Now watch this. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now what do you got here? You got people coming in the church, and by the way, 1 Corinthians, a problem in every chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, they were saying, well, there's no resurrection of the dead. So he's dealing with this. It's a false doctrine, but there's something we can learn from here. These people were denying the resurrection. And now I want you to go to verse number 33. I want to show you something. Now watch this. Watch this verse. Mark it in your Bible. He goes all the way through this thing trying to reestablish to these people about the resurrection. Then he gets down to verse 33 and says this. Be not deceived. Now there's that word that we've seen over and over again. Evil communications corrupts good manners. You know what Paul was telling those people? Quit listening to those guys preach and teach. Quit it. Quit having discussions with these people that don't believe in the resurrection. You're going to mess around pretty soon and think it's all right. You're going to kind of think, well, they've got a point. And they'll take you back over in some Old Testament passage of Scripture about the beast that doesn't have a thing to do with New Testament church. And they'll show you some obscure verse that'll make you think that you just go back to the dust and that's it and that's the end of everything. And there's no resurrection. You better mark that evil communications corrupts good manners. Let me tell you something. The people, the places, the stuff you're hanging around, it will get you. You hang around long enough, it'll get you. Evil communications corrupts good manners. Here's what the deal was. They were having religious studies. They were going to other services. They were hobnobbing with people who were evil communicating the wrong thing to their spirits. and they started buying into it. And Paul had to come back and correct that thing. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you something tonight. Now, Lord, help me to be nice. Lord, help me to preach in the right spirit. And I want to say this carefully tonight. You got relatives, and they have false doctrine. The Bible teaches you don't eat with them. I'm sorry. I am not going to have a cousin who's a Jehovah's Witness come in and eat Sunday dinner or Saturday night dinner or nothing else with my family. Ain't doing it. Here's why. They come in there and they don't, we don't talk about religion when we get together. You know, we all see differently. But what that guy's going to do, you listen to me, those guys will proselyte your children, their grandchildren like that. They're after them, and they're going to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they're going to go over to the floor, and they're going to play with your child, and they're going to do what he likes to do, and they're going to figure out, I'm going to wait to win that boy's heart. Are you listening to me? You're going to bring your Mormon friends in, your Jehovah's Witness friends in, your liberal friends in, your modernistic friends in, and they're going to mess with you, and they're going to brag you up and talk about you, and he'll take your boy deer hunting, and they'll take your daughter here, and they'll do this and that. And you know what? Old Uncle Joe was Jehovah's Witness, but he's one of the nicest uncles I had. And what they've done is tore down the barrier that God intends to have. That's why God says you don't even eat with them. You don't have them come up. Relatives, families, friends. I'm telling you, false religions, you do not have them at your house. I'm your pastor. I love you. I'm trying to tell you, I ain't doing it. Don't you do it. It's wrong. They'll mess you up. They'll get in pretty soon. And you watch your silence will give consent for your children to start believing that junk. And their good works is what will win over your children. They're going to let you go on. They're going to try to win your kids and grandchildren over. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Next passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me say how stuff gets in churches. I used to do a lot of revival meetings in the first several years when I was preaching. And I do about one a year now. I mean, that didn't last forever, did it? But let me tell you what I saw. I saw pastors who knew that stuff was going on in the church and being done, that they knew it was wrong, and they knew it was destroying the church. But here's what the problem was. They hated, a lot of churches, there's three or four, five family groups. Okay? And everybody's trying to hang on to everybody they can hang on. But here's where you get in trouble. Here's old Grandpa so-and-so back here, and he's been a deacon at the church, and he's went there forever. And his little granddaughter wants to do a special. Are you listening to me? And the pastor, so Grandpa don't get mad, lets her do it. I have literally seen kids do cheerleading routines for specials in revival meeting services. Doing this here, running over this way, doing this one, kicking their legs like that. How'd you like get up and preach after something like that? I've seen kids crawl all over the church house. I've watched little two and three-year-old kids crawl around behind the pulpit while the preacher's preaching. I've seen parents ain't got no more sense and let a child sit there and bawl and squall and nobody can hear anything or focus or concentrate on the service. They ain't got a lick of sense to take the child out. I mean, there's no way in the world the Holy Ghost God is going to do anything there. And you know what? And nobody wants to say anything because it's going to make them mad. You say anything about my kids, I'm mad at you. And if they don't let their kids get up there and do their little routine, he'll hear about it after church. And that's sad, isn't it? That's pretty sick. And that's what's going on. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Paul again dealing with, and boy, this is so good. I want you to get this. Let's take off in verse number 1. I'm just going to stop tonight where I need to. Paul, if it gets to be 12 o'clock, you flag me, okay? Verse number 1, everybody there say amen. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, now what's the word bear? Bear with me. Bear with me. Paul's saying, I want you to bear with me a little bit. Now you keep that in mind. Indeed, bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. Well, I didn't think we were supposed to be jealous, did you? Well, what Paul was jealous about? Can I tell you what he's jealous about? False teachers and preachers stealing people. That's what's going on. They were perverting their doctrine and telling them that Paul didn't know what he's talking about, and this is what they ought to believe. He said, I'm jealous of you with godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Watch this, so your minds. Remember what we talked about where the battle is? Between your spirit and your flesh, your body. The battle's in your mind. He said, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If anybody here tonight thinks it's hard to be saved, can I tell you flat-footed tonight, it's not hard to be saved. Amen. And it's not hard to stay saved. Because you didn't save yourself and you don't keep yourself. It's a new birth. It is simple. Jesus died in your place for your sins on the cross and rose from the dead. He shed his blood in your place. It's substitution. He died for you on that cross, died in your place, took your death and your punishment from God. That's the gospel. Rose from the dead. You repent of your sin, receive him as your Savior, believing on his death, his burial, his resurrection in your place for your sin, God will save you. That's just that simple. Now, if I tell you that you've got to get baptized to really be saved, what have I done? I've corrupted the simplicity of the gospel. If I tell you that eventually you should speak in tongues or you didn't really get saved, if I tell you that you should quit smoking because you got saved and you didn't quit smoking, I have corrupted the gospel. Now, you listen to me. I believe in holy living. I believe I'm to do what's right. And I don't believe in defiling the temple. But I'm telling you one thing. Quit smoking. Don't save nobody. And don't keep nobody saved. If I say that, I believe you ought to wear dresses, ladies. And I believe men ought to have your shirt buttoned up. And I believe you ought to wear breeches that ain't real tight, men. We want our ladies to wear clothing that's not revealing. We've got a bunch of men walking around just barely look like you pulled them on with a vacuum cleaner. Amen. Y'all dress decent. I don't believe men ought to wear breeches showing their crotch. I'm just going to play flat out. You understand me? I think that needed to be preached. I believe we'll be modest. I love you. I hope y'all love me. But I want to tell you right now, wearing a dress down to the ground, if I tell you that if you don't wear a dress, you ain't saved, that's not true. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you wear a dress, you'll go to heaven. If that's true, all the Muslim women, they got a head start on us, amen? You ain't saved by wearing dresses or wearing nothing. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. And anything that adds or detracts from that takes away. I'm going to say this now. Now listen to me. I believe you ought to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but can I tell you something? Going to church don't save you either. I think you'll be here on Wednesday night, but just because you ain't here on Wednesday night don't mean you lost your salvation. I believe you ought to get up here and sing on Sunday morning, but just because you don't, I don't believe you lost your salvation. You may think I preach like it sometimes, but you ain't lost your salvation. I'm saying your salvation's in the blood substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Finished, over with and out of here. And by the way, if that won't do it, I don't know where else to go. There's nothing for me to hang my soul on. And that's what he's talking about here, because these guys were starting to add stuff. He said, watch verse number 4. He said, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, now here it is, whom we have not preached. Now, the soul, you know that there can be another Jesus preached. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. Or if you receive a what? Another spirit which you have not received. Watch this. Or another gospel. So there's three things. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, which ye have not accepted. Ye might do what? You get this? Well, bear with him. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I labored my guts out for you for years. I loved you and gave you the truth. And now some jackleg comes along and gives you a false doctrine, another Jesus, another gospel, and enough stuff that ain't right. And said, you put up with him, said, you ain't got time for me. You throw me off like an old shoe. And you got you a new Bible teacher. You got you a new preacher. And he said, you put up with him, you bear with him. Paul said, I'd like you to bear with me, and I'm a little godly jealous over it. He said, you bear with him. I'll tell you something. Now you listen to me. You get on, if you ain't careful, let me tell you what destroys pastors. And I've had first-rate experience with this. Brother Mess, you probably relate to this. You know, I don't know, we need to have revival, but a revival don't come canned in an evangelist. Let me tell you what's really sickening to me. And that is, and I've seen this, and I wished I'd have been a little wiser when I was younger about this, but you know, I'd go hold a meeting. Well, you know, I'd come up there 4, 5, 7 nights, whatever it was, preach my guts out, you know, well, they ain't never seen me before, and they thought I was the neatest thing, but they thought I was really neat, Brother Messick. They just met me. They don't know anything about me, know whether I'm a thug or a cheat or a liar, but I sure did preach a good message. And they'd come up after church, shake my hand, say, well, I'll tell you what, we ain't heard of that preaching like that in years around here, and they just gloat, you know, and talk about how good a message that was. And the poor old pastor, he's been there laboring for 25 years, they treating him like a dog. Now, I decided one time I ain't putting up, that's garbage. I ain't doing this no more. I don't tell you who loves you. That evangelist, he going to come go. And I'm all for him. But I say this, whenever you're sick laying in the hospital, you call that evangelist? When your marriage is busting up, you call him, well, maybe you do. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, that Paul said, listen, What's the deal about the people who are laboring? He said, you don't just run around. There's something new comes to town. You run off down there. Can I tell you, years ago when the charismatic movement was coming in town, boy, now they was blowing in town, you know. And if they couldn't split a church up, they'd start their own. And they'd pull everybody out, you know, and they'd come in there. And I had a man tell me one time, he said, well, you know, and I know churches are dead. I know a lot of dead churches. But just having because you got a dead church don't mean you ought to run off something. Something else is false. Add sin upon sin. Anyway, look what Paul says. You go down through there, verse number 4, he said you might bear well with him. Look at verse number 5, I like this. For I suppose I was not a whip behind the very chiefest apostles, but look at verse number 6. But though I be rude in speech, bless God, I like that passage of Scripture. Amen. Paul wasn't no smooth mouth. Yet not in knowledge, he said, but he knew the book. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I wanted and I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking in me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not. God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do. Watch off. Why? That I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion. You know what Paul's saying? I want you to stop listening to these false prophets and teachers. And I'll tell you something else. Let me just throw this at you. You people don't do this to me, and I appreciate it. But I've seen it done. Folks came in on Sunday morning, walk up to the preacher and say, oh, Pastor, did you hear John Hagin's message this morning? Yeah. Mercy, mercy, he was barking the tree. Oh, he preached on marriage, and it helped my husband and I. Or he preached on this. We were so blessed by Brother John Hagin. And what she's really saying is, you're just a... Now, John Hagin, he's something else. But you stay here Sunday after Sunday, year after year, and you preach and you love us and you care for us and our families, but you don't amount to much. What you've done don't mean squat. Now, John Hagin down there married 3 times, when he pastored the church, I violated the Scriptures. Well, he's something else. Well, and by the way, we ain't getting much good out of you. But boy, he sure thank God for TV. Hey, I've seen people do it, seen people do it, seen people do it. And Paul's saying, hey, he said, I'll tell you what, if I had my way about it, I'd cut off the occasion for you to talk to these people, all this stuff. And by the way, you know, some of you supporting all that stuff, and you send after this book and that tape and this tape and that tape and that tape, and you promote that stuff, and first thing you know, you don't know what you believe. You don't know whether he's right about what. Oh, Jimmy Swagger spent 10 weeks preaching on the damnable doctrine of eternal security. All the while, he was pornographing the ground and messing with a woman. Yep. By the way, does anybody remember, did he say he was lost that day when he had to give it up? Did he say he had lost his salvation? No. You know what's funny? I never do hear him say, I'm lost now. What's that? What did you say, Brother Messick? Tammy who? Yeah.
Tammy Faith.
Okay, I want to make sure I got that right.
Jimmy Taker.
He's back at it down here at Branson. He's back at it. I mean, anybody ought to have enough sense that a woman puts makeup on with a caulking gun. You don't follow that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not very spiritual, but the first time I ever seen him, I knew he was fake. I'm serious. No, Jimmy Swaggart, I like to hear him preach. I'm honest with you. I like to hear him preach. But I'm just saying to you that, you know, spend 10 weeks telling people about losing salvation, you're off doing that junk.
Try the spirits.
He said that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory we may be found even as we. Now, watch what he says about them. This is what he says about them. He said, now these people preach another gospel, they have another spirit, and he said they preach another Jesus. He said, for such are what?
Misinformed brethren.
No, they're false apostles. Secondly, they're deceitful workers. And here's how they do it. They're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Who? These is preaching another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I sat in the hospital this week. I know it's old news. Everybody's seen it before. But the weather was on us in there. Karen's in the hospital. And weather was on, KY3, I believe it was. And they're in the surgery waiting room. And here comes an ad on James River Assembly. Now, does anybody know what they advertise? What do they advertise? It looks like a rock and roll concert going on. You betcha, an eerie sound. Ministers of righteousness, angels of light. You better get this passage of Scripture here, that Satan's ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness and appear as angels of light. You better know the book or you're going to get fooled. Who are they? What do they do? Number one, they'll preach another Jesus. They have another spirit, and they'll preach another gospel. Usually they've got another Bible, they've got another music, they've got another worship, they've got another life, and it's all of the world. Go to Galatians chapter 1. What time is it, Brother Paul?
8:05.
We're going to hit Galatians chapter 1. Galatians is a big book on false doctrine. We're going to hit this and then we'll go home. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Lord, help my attitude. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. Everybody there say amen. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him. By the way, he didn't say from all the religion. He said from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel. Now, we're going to get down to it. Now, which is not another. It is not another. But there be some that trouble you, which would do what? They pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, watch what he says. And this is the introductory to the book. But though we or an angel from heaven. Woo! Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have heard or have received, let him be accursed. Now, we'll go home on this because we're going to hit Galatians 2, Galatians 5. We're going to get, and most of you know that Galatians is a deal that... they were into this deal saying that, yeah, you were saved by grace, but you didn't get circumcised, so you're not saved. And what they were doing, now watch this, they were adding works with grace. And any gospel quotes that tells you that you have to add anything to the finished, complete work of Jesus Christ is another gospel, and it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news. But if anything adds to it, somebody says to you, well, you don't homeschool or you don't send your kids to Christian school, you can't be saved. That would be what? That would be perverting the gospel, right? If somebody tells you that you've not been baptized in water, and if you're not baptized, the Church of Christ preaches that, right? That's what they preach. They pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just wish they'd emphasize the word believe and the word blood like they do water baptism. All they preach on is water baptism, water baptism, water baptism, water baptism. And but they pervert it. It's the blood of Christ. It's the substitutionary sacrifice. It's not your deeds and your acts and so forth. And anybody that tells you that after you get saved, now because this is what was going on here, they had gotten saved. Now they're saying you're not circumcised or you're not this or you're not that. So you're not saved. You know what Paul said about now? This is what blew me away when I first understood this because I'd heard this all my life. He said, you have fallen from grace. That verse is, you know how it's twisted. It's told people that that verse is used to teach you can lose your salvation. That is not what that's talking about at all. In fact, just the flip opposite. It is saying, you're saying that you got saved by grace and now you're kept by how well you live, by you don't smoke and you don't drink and you don't run around with them to do and you don't do this and you don't do that. And you're saved by what you don't do or what you do do. You have fallen from grace because grace saves you apart from your works. And you fell from grace down into works. And Paul attacked that like you cannot believe. I mean, he went after that with a sword, two-edged sword, the Word of God. So anyway, we'll quit there tonight. And I want to thank you for being here again. I know this might not be very interesting to some of you. I hope it is. It will help us. It'll guard us. And what I'm trying to do tonight, and I wished I had sometimes a better heart, better attitude, and a better way of doing it. I guess I'm like Paul. I'm rude in speech. But I want to preach the truth in love because I'm telling you something. Listen, people are taking down the road by the thousands and tens of thousands by all this false stuff coming in and getting away from the Bible. And God wants us to be warned about it. Thank you for being here. Let's stand together tonight. And this morning I said this. Your sister-in-law comes up to you and says, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues the other day. How do you know that's not right? Where is it in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The very chapter, watch this now, the very chapter where it explicitly says for women to keep silence in the churches is the chapter on tongues in the Bible. You read 1 Corinthians 14. There is no way that that's scripturally right. No way in the world. You don't have to know your book because you're going to say, well, I love my sister-in-law and I don't think she'd lie to me. Did you know your sister-in-law, if she didn't try the spiritual self, will get deceived? And you know, by great signs and wonders. I love your sister-in-law too, okay, but you can be wrong. I can be wrong. That's why, hey, I'm going to give you a verse for this whole series. The believers in, is it Thessalonica? Were more noble than those. No, the believers in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that, watch this, they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. Did you know what they were doing? They were doing exactly what I'm trying to do through this series of messages. They said they heard stuff preached. They went to the Bible to see if it's true. If it didn't match the Bible, threw it out. They were more noble in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things be so. If it ain't in the Bible, it ain't right. And I don't care. If it ain't right. Lord, help us. We need help in these days of apostasy, these latter days, Lord, when churches are going down by the thousands, pastors going down by the thousands, Lord. And God, the only way we'd be held is by your sweet grace. We pray, Lord, the sweet Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd give us light, help us see clearly. Help us to have good spirit, a good attitude, Lord, a right attitude. Help us, Lord, to be like old Daniel, to have an excellent spirit in us. Lord, help us not to be mean. Lord, help us not to be critical. But Heavenly Father, help us to do like the Apostle Paul did, Lord. And God, where he didn't put up with that stuff, Lord. He dealt with it and straight up, Lord, because he knew it was heaven or hell for generations. And so, Lord, we just pray tonight that you'd help this flock and these families, Lord, these folks, to hang to the truth, to search the Scriptures, to see whether these things be so. Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. And I just ask God that the Holy Ghost of God would guard them against false doctrine, against stuff that ain't right. And Lord, we'll love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are the truth. Amen.